Friday, May 11th, iteration of the Joint Ways and Means Committee to order. Welcome, everybody. We have other bills reported out of subcommittee. Senate Bill 99A, relating to the safe surrender of newborn children, Representative Hayden.
Mr. Chairman and committee members, some years ago, some of you here participated in a bill known as the Fetal Alcohol Syndrome Bill, which required a placard to be placed in restaurants warning pregnant women of the dangers of alcohol and pregnancy, that they don't mix. Many young minds have been saved by that simple placard. This falls within the same purview, Mr. Chairman and committee members. It preserves the lives and minds of newborn children. To the pony, Senate Bill 199A creates a safe haven to allow a parent to leave an infant no more than 30 days old with an employee of certain public facilities. The State Office for Services to Children and Families will take protective custody of the infant. If the conditions of the law are met, the parent has an affirmative defense to the crime of abandonment of a child. The General Government Subcommittee considered the fiscal implications of the bill in three areas: information sharing, foster care, and adoption assistant costs and court costs. The Department of Human Services is to inform the public about the new law. The department can receive public or private gifts, grants, or contributions to support that effort. The department has also identified some low-cost options it could do within its existing budget. Examples of these are media advisories or educational materials for hospitals and new parents. The bill may have some impact on the state's foster care and adoption assistance costs. However, any increase is expected to be small, perhaps one or two infants each year, and absorbed within those programs' resources. There may be a small reduction in court costs, assuming the law prevents one or two charges of abandonment each year. The subcommittee concluded the bill has no material fiscal impact, and any expected impact could be absorbed within existing budgets. The General Government Subcommittee recommends the Ways and Means Committee to refer Senate Bill 199A to the Senate with a due pass recommendation, Mr. Chairman, and I can tell you if this bill passes, my wife will probably be standing at the nearest fire station waiting for the first child to come by.
Thank you, Representative. I do think this is one of the more significant, better bills that we will consider this session. I appreciate your efforts in bringing this forward. Any questions for the good representative? Sir Yee.
The co-chair, will the carrier yield to a question?
I will, Senator Yee.
My question is any consideration given to alternatives such as crisis counseling to the young woman so that maybe some counseling as to adoption or further continuance of caring for the baby with assistance from public assistance service and gathering some data about the newborn baby.
Senator Yee, although the presentation on this bill was very, very brief, it was brought to the committee by Senator Peter Courtney, and there was not extensive deliberations, but it was my understanding that one of the key elements of this was that the parent be completely anonymous, that no data be kept, because it was felt more children would be saved if the parents were guaranteed anonymity.
Follow up. My thinking is some crisis counseling can be given on a confidential basis, but at the same time, excuse me, provide some service to the young, presumably young mother, that can help her with her stressful situation rather than abandoning the baby without any information about the child.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Yee, I agree with you. I think that in the best of all worlds, no one would need crisis counseling and no child would be abandoned. However, the world in which we live, people do have access to crisis counseling through a variety of means, and children are abandoned. They are found dead in dumpsters. And I think this bill is intended not to address the needs of those people who would accept crisis counseling, but those who, for whatever reason, are too afraid or too intimidated or have a lack of knowledge that such a resource is available, and This is something that is so simple that it can be readily understood, and I believe that some people will take advantage of this, where if they were forced into some sort of a face-to-face meeting, they would abandon the child and flee the scene.
Mr. Chairman, I have a lot of concern about this bill because it doesn't solve the root of a problem. We might be encouraging more abandoning when we set up such a procedure. So I just feel more alternatives are to be explored. So at this time, I'm a no vote.
Thank you, Senator. Any further discussion? Any objections to moving Senate Bill 199A on Senate floor as amended with a due pass recommendation? Let the record show we have one objection, Senator Yee. Seeing no other objections, so ordered. Other business to come before the committee, Department of Human Services, Office of Alcohol and Drug Programs, Senator Yee.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends that the Joint Committee on Ways and Means approve the submission of a Federal Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention Grant application in the amount of $400,000 for 2 years for reducing underage drinking. The purpose of this grant is to reduce the availability of alcohol to minors and the consumption by minors. The goal is to expand the number of communities taking a comprehensive approach to the problem. The Office of Alcohol and Drug Abuse Programs will use the funds from this grant to launch a comprehensive community-level program in three diverse communities over a 2-year period. These activities will include the use of a local coordinator, increase enforcement activities, develop youth leadership and involvement, and meet community needs. No matching state funds are required. Your Human Services Subcommittee recommends approval of this request.
Thank you, Senator. Any questions regarding the grant application? Any discussion? Any objections to approval of a federal grant application to the Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention? Seeing none, the approval is granted. Other business coming before the committee. Another grant application, Department of Human Services Health Division, Representative Pastor.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends that the Joint Committee on Ways and Means approve the submission of the Federal Department of Health and Human Services Center for Disease Control and Prevention grant application in the amount of $280,000 per year for up to 5 years for dental caries prevention and dental sealant program for children. The Health Division proposes to use this grant, if awarded, to implement a statewide school-based dental care prevention and dental sealant program targeted to children ages 8 to 10 years old, particularly those children of lower socioeconomic status and in rural areas with limited access to dental care. The results would be more children receiving this valuable preventative care. These funds would expand the current sealant program administered by the Health Division. No state matching funds are required, and your Human Services Subcommittee recommends the approval of this request set for Representative Schrader.
I could comment on that if you like.
Chair does not recognize Representative Schrader. Would anyone like to speak on this bill with the exception of Representative Schrader? Any questions? Representative Hayden, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I can't resist that. Resist standing on this platform for a brief moment. May I share with the committee that sealants are a fairly recent innovation. It's a very, very simple technique that the engineers only came up with the idea about 15 years ago, where a weak acid is placed briefly on the teeth. It etches away some of the organic material, leaving a lattice work which a plastic will penetrate and lock into, and this is a sealant that prevents the decay-causing materials from sticking to the teeth. It's very, very simple, very, very cost-effective, and it saves a lot of teeth. Many, many children heretofore have lost what are called the six-year molars, the first molars that come in because parents don't realize they're there, they don't get brushed, and they have to be extracted by 8 or 10 or 12. This stops that. This is wonderful. And this is not as effective as fluoridation of public water supplies, but it's certainly a good second.
Now, Representative, I think everyone up here, with the exception of people wearing green shirts, understand this simple concept.
All the way down the committee, and I missed it. All right, I'll let this get too far away.
Representative Schrader, would you like to
just make a comment? I appreciate Representative Hayden's comments. Certainly has a lot of experience here. My biggest concern on this is that this particular division has its plate full. There are so many different things that the health division is trying to do that branching out and expanding the sealant program, I think, is the wrong way to go. I believe this particular division needs to be defining what it does, do a few things well, rather than trying to be all things to all people. I would also suggest that since we're having to look at cutting back the school-based clinics, which is the vehicle for doing this program, it doesn't make much sense to pursue this or go down this road. And on top of that, the main focus has been, at least in our subcommittee, and I think statewide, has been to talk about or figure out, is fluoridation the right way to go? That's where the energy should be spent, to decide if the state should be pursuing that type of avenue, as Representative Hayden alluded to. So I just think it's a bad use of our resources at this point in time. We shouldn't be going down this road. There's no way we can keep on doing it. It'll be an unfunded mandate in another few sessions when the grant runs out.
Would you like to be recorded as no, Representative?
Yes, sir, please.
Any other discussion? Senator Dukes.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I just wanted to point out, Clatsop County does not have an Oregon Health Plan dentist. And recently I was told that the only Oregon Health Plan dentist in Columbia County was closing shop. It's not that we reimburse them very well, but what that means is that low-income children in those two counties are unlikely to be able to receive this kind of care any other way. So it seems to me entirely appropriate that the state, which hasn't yet managed to get its reimbursements up high enough to keep a dentist on the Oregon Health Plan in some of the rural areas, at least tries to do some preventative care.
Thank you, Senator. Any other discussion?
No, sir.
Any questions? Any objections, with the exception of Representative Schrader, to approving the federal grant application to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention? Seeing none, the application is approved. Another grant application, Department of Human Services, Health Division, Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends that the Joint Committee on Ways and Means approve the submission of a Federal Department of Housing and Urban Development grant application in the amount of $333,000 per year for up to 3 years for a grant entitled A Healthy Homes Demonstration Education Program. HUD intends to award grants to support projects to address housing-related hazards that threaten the health and safety of children. The purpose of the grant is to develop demonstration and promote preventive measures to correct multiple safety and health hazards in home environments that produce serious diseases and injuries to children. If awarded, the Health Division would use these funds to develop educational material and programs related to housing-associated health and injury hazards such as asthma, lead poisoning, mold growth, and pesticide residue. No state matching funds are required. Your Health and Human Services Subcommittee recommends approval of the request.
Any questions? Any discussion?
Sure.
Any discussion? Representative Schrader.
With all due respect, Mr. Co-Chair, I think this is another opportunity to waste money. Testimony during the during our subcommittee indicated that, number one, the division's already doing this sort of thing, that $200,000 would be spent on doing what they already do, another $100,000, all of $100,000 would be left to actually do something about what they find out. We do a lot of planning. We do a lot of thought about it. This is a great opportunity to spend a lot of money doing stuff that is going to be of absolutely no benefit. We're going to mislead the public that we're going to be doing something something new, something different, something great about pesticide residues, mold growth, asthma, and lead poisoning. In reality, we had no money to do anything. So I'd be honest, I think this is a housing issue, shouldn't even be done in this department. And again, I go back, the Health Division has way too much on its plate to mislead taxpayers and citizens about what they can and can't do. I have no strong opinion otherwise.
And you would like to be recorded as a maybe?
Probably a no.
Probably a no. Any further discussion? Senator Dukes.
Would the carrier answer a question? I'm curious. Is what they will spend this money on fixed in stone, or is that all you can do in the grants? I mean, I think they'd be better served to go out and survey the second-aid housing that we make available to people, and because some of that stuff's got some really interesting things in it.
It is their intent, Senator, to survey housing in low-income areas, and it's also their intent, if they get if they receive the grant, to provide some educational tools to work with the family and those when they find the problems with inside the homes. That's the genesis of the grant. We had a lot of discussion of their linkage with the housing and community development, and recommended that should they get receive the grant, that they're to actually come back and to before we give authorization, that they are doing the linkage in collaboration with housing and community development, so that we're not doing overlap functions.
If they come back and you have that discussion, I hope you'll try to point them toward. I mean, we have some involvement with the Section 8 housing. It seems like everybody's got their finger in that process, but we're actually renting or helping to rent out homes to people, and those homes often don't meet the standards. I'd hate to think that we were going to do that, continue to do that at the same time that we were out advising low-income people that they should upgrade their homes.
We did have that discussion,
okay,
and we said that that would not be appropriate. And if there was upgrade that was required, if they were going to have dollars in order to assist those individuals in making those necessary repairs, that discussion we are having, and ask that they come back to us with their plan.
And I think that's a fundamental point as we proceed through this list of grant, and here's the key word, applications. This isn't a definitive statement on how the money is going to be spent. It's the first step in the process. I would probably share Representative Schrader's concern that, you know, well, this is a big step in the process and really helps define the areas money is going to be spent. And I concur with that. But at the end of the day, there's also legislative oversight as to how these funds will be spent. And we do have some input and direction once and if these grants are approved.
Sure.
Representative Butler, just one brief question, and I don't know how the dismantling of the current housing or the current human resource services is going to come about. I am concerned when I hear members that serve on those committees say that they're concerned about whether or not they will have the time and whether they've got the resources within their departments to operate these and take care of and perform all the services that will be required under the grant. And I further would like to say that in having heard the Department of Housing and Community Services in the Transportation Economic Development Subcommittee, that seems to be a department which doesn't have a lot on its plate relative to dismantling and taking it apart. And after all, this is primarily related to housing-associated health and injury hazards. So I'm wondering if this is, even though the application could be made at this time, by the this particular agency, whether or not it shouldn't be, as opposed to the Health Division actually administering it, that it would come back and be administered through the Department of Housing and Community Services, just by way of suggestion. Well, I think that's a decision that we can make when we have a decision. And the if we have a decision to make, and just to put everyone's mind at ease, I have heard no rumors with regard to the dismantling of the Human Services Division.
Reorganization. I beg your pardon.
I believe that is a more appropriate word. Any further discussion? Would you like to be recorded as a no representative, Schrader?
Please.
With the exception of Representative Schrader, are there any objections to approving the federal grant application to the Department of Housing and Urban Development on behalf of the Department of Human Services? Seeing none, so ordered. Another grant application, Department of Human Services, Voc Rehab, Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. On April 11, 2001, the Federal Department of Labor announced the availability of $2.8 million in competitive grant funds for information technology skills training for people with disabilities. In response to the grant announcement, the Voc Rehab and Senior Disabled Services Division of the Department of Human Services are proposing to train people with severe disabilities to teach frail elderly persons to use various types of technology. VRD and SDSD are hopeful the technology can assist frail elderly to live more safely and independent. The grant application will request $600,000 from the Department of Labor. The funds would be used to compensate the contractor who will provide training, partial fund a DHS grant manager, and purchase appropriate technology. The grant requires no state matching funds and is consistent with the mission of the Department of Human Services. The department is not requesting additional position authorization or FTE. The application is due on May 15th, which is, I believe, Tuesday. Your Human Services Subcommittee recommends approval of the request to apply for the federal grant with the understanding that the department will not request state funding to augment future grant activities. The subcommittee recommends that the Department of Human Services report to the Emergency Board on grant activities if the grant is awarded and request additional expenditure limitation if necessary. Finally, the agency is to report to the 2003 Legislative Assembly or Emergency Board during the interim after grant activities are completed or project outcomes. Your Subcommittee on Human Services recommends your approval.
Thank you, Representative. Any discussion? Any questions?
I just want to make sure I understood this right. We're going to get a grant to teach frail elderly people how to use the computer. Is that the essence of this?
Basically, a computer and other technologies. High-tech technologies, yes.
What were the other technologies?
They had a list.
It seems to me most of the elderly people today don't want to learn the computer. They're not. It was a different kind of technology. They're not particular. Some of them embrace it, but most of them seem intimidated by it. So I
can vote no if you want. Yeah, well, it covers to provide internet services, home delivery of groceries, and are teaching them and using some of the technologies that would assist them while they're in their home.
And these would be people who wouldn't otherwise get out of their home?
Medication reminders, would not be able to get out of their home. Visual contact with their family members. I guess there's some technology.
The internet, yeah. Would
you like staff to expound?
Well, I guess I'd like to believe that these are people who otherwise won't get out of their home, because if they would get out of their home for any reason, then this becomes antisocial, which disturbs me. And my experience with elderly folks is that they're not particularly interested in using this, and I can see that in some applications it probably could help. I hope we're giving them the computers too, because otherwise I don't know how they're going to do it. So I wasn't on the subcommittee. I probably should have been.
Senator Perry.
Would the carrier yield to a question, Mr. Chairman?
Certainly.
I wondered if some of our more distinguished and elderly members of the Senate eligible for technology.
I mean,
especially the medication reminders.
Yeah. Between the sealant verbiage and the now the need to assist my chronological members who were on my committee, and certainly I think that some of us do need a little reminding, and this is designed to assist those of us who and those who are already there, and some of us who may be there pretty soon, of some of the new technologies, and particularly those frail who are in home, and it's another way of trying to make sure that individuals in home do have the service to keep them from the next step.
Mr. Chair,
and go ahead.
The truth is that okay, this is a grant for pacemakers, okay?
That one, I think.
Representative Pat. Oh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think the committee saw this as kind of a high-tech OPI. It allows people to stay in their... Seriously, it allows people to stay in their homes longer by having home delivery services via the Internet and other things, teaching people to use advanced technology in order to remain in their homes longer, which in turn lowers the cost to the state if they should... result in having state assistance. And I think that that was the general tenor of the discussion that we had in the subcommittee, and I think there's a lot of people who are interested in these types of things, and I will tell you, as someone who works with retirees in three different states, that they're probably more technologically savvy than the boomer generation is. It's pretty amazing what they're interested in and the things that they're using to be able to retain their independence through high tech. So I think that's what we looked at it as.
Senator Duncan?
Mr. Chair, I'm just sorry. I believe I forgot what it is that which if we were to be reminded, of which we were to be reminded.
Let me remind you to vote yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
He hold up his hand and vote. Yeah.
I'll vote for Mr. The senator next to me, too. He forgets all the time, too, when he's awake.
Any further objections? Or any further discussion?
I was thinking of Schrader.
Any more ramblings, ranting? Any questions? Any objections to granting approval of the grant application to the Department of Folk Rehab? Yes. Seeing none, ordered. Announcements. Monday, May 14th, 9 a.m., hearing room 50. We will have a joint meeting with the full Ways and Means Committee and both revenue committees to hear the revenue forecast. Fairly big day. I suggest this be there on time. If we want to get a seat, it will probably be an extremely well-attended event. Senator Hannon and I, on the other hand, will be golfing. Any other business come before the committee?
This is a great committee.
If you have a foursome, I'll join you.
Yeah. Everyone have a great weekend. Travel safely home.
And would the hardworking members of the human committee be made? Yeah.